webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you so very much, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, March 7th, 2012, the only first Wednesday of March 2012 in the history of the world. Not only do we all want to change the world, we know what eventually will change the world. We've extrapolated it. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on this excursion into all things gospel, all things spiritual, all things religious, or anything that is on our fertile minds and also of yours. We want to hear from you tonight if you're listening live, and it's about 8:45 in the evening on Wednesday night and on the East Coast of the United States of America. That means you're listening live, and this is your cordial invitation to join us at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the Gospel Revolution toll-free hotline in Canada and the United States. If you're listening outside North America, you can give us a call, too, at 813-425-5773. Your number is 813-425-5773. The very intelligent, handsome, and not as tan as he was, Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call and waiting to welcome online. Please do, ladies and gentlemen, from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, the founder and president, the Bela Lugosi, the Lunesta of said revolution, please welcome on Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Well, at least my titles become fewer.
Well, no, they haven't become fewer. They are as plentiful as ever. But we have abridged the introduction portion to get more quickly to the topics at hand.
Yeah, that adds 10 more minutes to the webcast.
Pretty much. Pretty much. That's exactly right.
Oh, my. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Mikey. We have had a busy week in the Gospel Revolution. And
yeah.
Your newsletter came out yesterday, part three of who knows how many installments on the topic of a holy, corrupt God. And we're going to be talking about that. But I wouldn't say sad or happy. I'm just reporting that one of our e-newsletter followers asked to unsubscribe based on that last email that just came through. And before we really get into the meat of a holy, corrupt God, what would you tell people in general, Michael, about somebody that gets so offended with what we're talking about vis-a-vis the cross and Christ and the gospel that they would want to unsubscribe or just not want to listen to anymore?
Well, I think I'm surprised that they read number one and number two and didn't unsubscribe, I guess, is my first thing. You know, who knows? You just don't know what people have in their hearts and minds. I don't know how long they've been a subscriber. There's just hardly anything that we could know about that. Of course, with the one thing that we are always hoping is that people will continue to learn and grow. They don't have to agree with me on everything that I say. They don't have to agree with me on anything that I say. If they want to continue to listen, they're certainly welcome to. And we are more than happy. I know I personally am thrilled when people have questions instead of maybe canceling the subscription. It would have been awesome to have a question or even just tell me, you know, why. That would be really good. It'd be good for us. to know why. But you don't always get the opportunity of communication. Humans have a very wonderful thing that separates us from the animal kingdom, and that is called language skills, where we can actually verbalize what we think and what we feel. And yet we do it through many other means, such as just canceling. We don't say anything.
Well, maybe this particular person's a baseball fan, and you know, one strike, the first installment, second strike, and then the third installment was the third strike. You are out, Gospel Revolution.
Yeah, but the one thing that they, the one who unsubscribed, they are not out of the gospel. They are very much, they are 100% affected by the gospel. As far as the work of the cross, and we want everybody's life to be affected by that good news. They are holy and righteous and perfect, and I realize that, you know, the area that we're treading into is new for people, but you've got to realize I don't know of anybody who's ever taken this on before to really examine these three positions that people have about the God, quote, of the Old Testament, or the God of, quote, the New Testament. And people take on, like we said, they either take on that God was never angry, which I understand that one. If you want to understand, if you really want to embrace the fullness of God's love, sometimes it's difficult to understand anger, but you're going to have to understand anger if you're going to base your belief and what you know about Jesus. You're going to have to base it in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And if you believe that God was angry.
All right, hold on for 1 second. Please explain to the beautiful humans why you're going to have to base your understanding of Christ and the gospel and the cross based on strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets.
Well, it's the only thing, and please understand, in the finality of all of this, you have only one place to validate truth, and that is the Scriptures. You cannot validate truth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, John, George, or anybody else, Book of Revelation. We must return to the Scriptures to see what they say. And one of the things that the Scripture is replete with is the anger, wrath, judgment, vengeance, and jealousy of God. All not very, very good characteristics. I don't think that God or anyone else would call those good characteristics. That's why we're looking at this subject in the angle that we're looking at it. I don't think it's a real angle. I think it's pretty straightforward. But then, of course, the other side of the planet is operating on that God was angry, is angry, and will always be angry.
Well, until he's not. But all right. Well, let's put this on pause for a moment before we get into this, because we're going to spend a good chunk of the evening talking about it. We just got an email from the beautiful human in Dauphin, Manitoba, Howie Wirch, and he says he's at work right now. He's listening in, and of course, he says, "Go Jets." The dreaded Winnipeg Jets, who are ahead of my Tampa Bay Lightning in the Southeast Division of the National Hockey League. That's an aside, but we still love Howard. And by the way, we still love our unsubscriber. I'm a little bit shocked to hear you say that person who unsubscribed is still righteous and perfect and holy in the sight of God, but I kind of see what you're stepping in.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a stretch for us here in the Gospel Revolution, but you know, we can change. We can change our old judgmental ways and accept people.
Speaking of judgmental ways, people sometimes, when they're talking about the gospel, if they've come into the so-called grace message, they think that being judgmental is strictly when you are judging something or someone specifically of being negative. Of having faults. But I think that judgment goes beyond that, Michael. I think judgment goes on, and we've seen it replete, speaking of replete, it's been replete in the United States media this week, when people make judgments of what God did or did not do in our present day, that's a form of judgment.
Oh, yes, and judging people, you know, one of the things that became such a bizarre little experience here in Houston with the church experience was the people were being taught that if they had an opinion, they were being judgmental, or if they were dedicated to something, that they were being legalistic. And pulling those terms out of context can be a hazardous proposition.
Well, we found that to be true, and the church that Mike is referring to is the so-called Grace Church that Mike got hooked up with when he first moved to Houston. And this was a pastor that was purportedly teaching grace. But not only were those terms completely misused, Michael, but the grace of God itself was misused to the point where people were considered not under grace if they weren't willing to do things that either were against their own conscience or they just didn't want to do.
Yeah, if you just didn't want to do it. And it also, the issue of love, you know, well, you don't love me if you don't go do this with me or do that. I mean, and things that were that would be, could be, just totally contrary to a person's own likes and dislikes. So, yeah, it's, you know, these terms, for the people who are insecure, these terms can turn into weapons. And the term of judgmental, the term legalistic, the term love, and I don't remember the other one we just spoke of, but all of those terms.
Grace, even.
Yeah, even grace. Yes, you know that you don't know anything about grace because you know you're not willing to go to a strip club with me, or I'm, you know, whatever. And but these things have nothing to do with the revelation of the gospel and the understanding of the gospel. Being judgmental is not when you have an opinion. It's when you judge whether or not somebody's relationship with God is connected or disconnected based on their actions or beliefs, or their actions or their deeds, or their beliefs. And that is being judgmental. Being legalistic is not because you clean your house every day at the same time, or because you're, you know, you've got a regiment that you must, you've got to be in the gym at 6 a.m. That's not being legalistic. Being legalistic is in definition of pertaining to the gospel and using law to judge someone's relationship with God, or to evaluate whether or not that love is there based on your performance. And it just, these things are, they're really dangerous. We need to keep them of where they belong. Now, see, the thing is that we can talk about all of those things. We can say, you have an opinion, and I have an opinion, and we disagree. See, that way we do not undermine one another's, the reality of who we know that Christ has made us to be. And just because I tell you, you know, I really think that what you're doing is wrong. You mean you can actually look somebody right in the face and say, I believe what you are doing is wrong, and not be judgmental? Absolutely.
as long as what?
As long as you are not connected to relationship to God. But see, then you have a much better stance to present your position rather than trying to have God to fall back on your opinion. And your opinion may be right, or it may be wrong. But one thing we don't need is God on your side to defend your opinions.
Exactly. And also, we don't need you to think that God is, and you, by the way, you don't need to think that God is against you or in favor of you in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Compared to like your neighbors, your spouses, mm-hmm. Your children, your friends, your enemies, your government, or
absolutely
whatever. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. The phone lines are wide open for you. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. Who will be first to call? It always takes that first caller's to get the ball rolling. So 1-800-436-3260 with any comments, questions, insights. We want to hear from you. 813-425-5773 outside of the United States and Canada. All right, so we have in this country, in the United States, a very, very serious Christian influence, obviously. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about this a lot on this program, folks, and in this media effort, is that our societies have been so permeated, so saturated with religion and Christianity and cause and effect religion, that it has literally affected everybody, even the atheist, even the so-called liberal media. And a bunch of stuff happened this week in this country, you guys, and we mentioned it in the newsletter today, but and you may have heard about it, but most noteworthy was the fact that a swath of tornadoes went through the central part of the country, and a lot of people died. So obviously when, you know, 40 or 50 people die in a situation, that takes precedence over, you know, possible military actions, which has been in the news, or a bombastic talk show host saying something that he ought not have said, and then giving a lame apology about it. All these things, Michael, there's been an infusion of Christianity and religion in the reporting of it, but especially in the tornadoes.
And it has been unbelievable. I mean, from politics to the weather to, I mean, every subject that came up this week, it had something to do with Christianity.
Right. And we saw, as you were talking about, not judging yourself better or worse off in God, being legalistic or judgmental, we saw the media reporting the so-called miracles of people surviving the tornado. We saw time after time after time. People saying who did survive, that God protected them, that God did this, how blessed they are. Watching all this, what is your general statement and your general impression about all that?
Oh, my. I think we've got our work cut out for us. I think that's the first thing that I was thinking as I was watching all this is just how saturated the minds of people are. It doesn't make any difference whether you held high political office, low political office, no political office. Now, if you are highly educated or moderately educated or completely uneducated, these precepts have invaded people's minds around this planet. Now, which would be fine if it wasn't to the setting aside of the truth of the gospel. Every time you hear that stuff, see, this is the thing. It's not that I disagree with them. That's not the issue. It's the, which I do disagree with them, but that's not the point. The issue is that every time I hear those things, what I'm hearing is the deficit of understanding of the work of the cross. Because all forms of external expressions of spirituality are an automatic deduction from a person's open operating understanding of the gospel. That is what I have come to know. Every time I've learned something more about the gospel, I have been able to, and thankfully willing to, and glad to, drop off another external expression of my spirituality.
Right.
And so that's what you see in all of this is, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's the atheist or the Christians or who's for it or against it. They're all still talking the same thing with a complete void. And the sad thing about it is the Christians are just as void of any truth about the gospel as the atheists express.
They may be more void of it
what they do express about what they think about the gospel is to the negative of what the gospel is. At least the atheist is sitting on zero.
Exactly. Now, here's what has happened with Christians, folks, is that, and we're going to talk about this as the program rolls on, but what Christianity did, you know, God warned Israel not to create an image of themselves, because if they did, it would corrupt them. That's what we're talking about, the corruption of God and how that happened when after God made an image of himself in the form of Adam and Eve. But what Christianity did, ladies and gentlemen, is that it created its own image of God. And so at least atheists who say there is no God, at least they do not have a false image that is in the process of corrupting their thinking regarding that topic. It's kind of a big topic, apparently. It was one of the first laws that God gave to Israel. Well, one of the things, Michael, of course, that always happens, it seems like, is that one of our religious leaders in this country, when something like tornadoes or hurricanes or tsunamis or planes flying into buildings, when those things happen, somebody sticks their foot in their mouth about it. And more times than not, it is our dear brother Pat Robertson out of there in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And sure enough, he spoke up this week. But this is kind of an interesting take, you guys. Eventually, you're going to hear Pat Robertson say, if enough people prayed, and we'll talk about that. But this is from the 700 Club, and he gets a question from a viewer. And so let's listen to how Pat responds to this. It's very interesting. We'll comment along the way. It's not very long. Stay right with us. Here's Pat Robertson.
To know, why did God send the tornadoes?
God didn't send tornadoes. God set up a world in which certain currents interfere and interact with other currents. When you have a warm group of air coming out of the south, coming up against a cold mass that's up in the north, mm-hmm. you'll get vortexes, and that in turn will spawn tornadoes. God doesn't send tornadoes to hurt people. He doesn't send, you know, we call them acts of God, but they're not. All I can say is that why do you build houses in a place where tornadoes are apt to happen?
Yeah. Well, and this year.
All right. Hold on right there. That was a lot. But here is Pat Robertson saying something that we could agree with. God does not send tornadoes.
Yeah.
And he said that we call them acts of God, but he said they are not.
Now, if there's ever a person on Earth that you would call a flip-flopper, then I hope he's changed his mind. But I would put my money, and I am a betting man, I would put my money, I don't have $10,000 to bet, but I am a betting man.
All right, Mitt.
I'd bet you $10 that that we'll turn on something he said within the rest of this year at least, and he will be saying that it was the judgment of God when a tornado does hit. It's just they've got a lot of listeners in the South. They can't do that.
Yeah, and the Midwest. But he did say, why do you build a home where you know that tornadoes come through on a regular basis?
Why did he build a whole university where hurricanes hit?
Yeah, but he spoke to the hurricane, Michael, and it went away. You know that. All right, let's continue. This gets interesting. Pat Robertson on the 700 Club.
This year, of course, the weather patterns, the warm winter and the warm, you know, early part of the year that we're having seems to affect all of that. But I think the bigger question for people spiritually is always not so much why did God send them, but why didn't he intervene? You know, you think people always ask that question
tragedy?
Well,
if enough people were praying, he would intervene. You could pray. God, Jesus stilled the storm. You could still storms. But, you know, the hurricane, for example, is a release mechanism that God set in to take the heat out of this world and to transfer heat around various parts of the globe. It's very necessary. The fact that people decide they want to build houses on the edge of an ocean, it's their fault.
What happened? That was it? All right.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, it just stopped itself. Well, you get the gist, folks.
Yeah, we got it.
No, turn that off, John.
It's their fault. It's not.
We get the gist.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's a guy who, in the same breath, says that God didn't send it, but if enough people prayed, I think you just won your $10 bet.
I think I did. I didn't have to wait a year. But
You talk about the schizophrenic nature of Christian. God didn't send it. This is a natural occurrence. This is something that God actually put into place as a safety valve.
Mm-hmm.
This is a natural occurring weather event, and yet, if people just, if enough people pray, listen, Michael, you cannot deny, at least if the New Testament account is accurate, Jesus did speak to the storm.
Yes, he did. And Jesus was demonstrating to us how powerful faith was, because what he was actually going to do with his faith was redeem the world. He wasn't showing us how to calm the storm. He was showing us who he was and what faith had the ability to do on a natural realm, so that when it came time for him to go and do the work of God of redeeming the world through the faith of God and the faith of Christ, we'd have some inclination he actually had that kind of faith. And these things were not set up. He didn't feed the 5,000 so we could feed the 5,000. He didn't raise the dead so we can raise the dead. He did all of that to demonstrate the power of faith and the power of who he was himself.
Yeah, but we're supposed to have faith like that.
Yes.
And by the way, greater works we shall do.
We do have faith. And the power of that faith now, though, is translated, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. According to Hebrews 11, faith has already produced what it's supposed to produce. Faith has already brought about the substance of everything hoped for, of everything that was not seen, that needed to be seen. Everything that needed to be done, faith has done it. Now, Paul did address the people of his time about faith, and he told them what faith was like now. And he made very clear, he made it very clear about the acknowledgement of oneself to make your faith, that your faith might be effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, the faith of God changed things, changed everything that needed to be changed. Our faith acknowledges the things that were changed. This is, of course, I'm getting into the series in Calgary. Good little advertisement there, I suppose. But this is what I'm going to go into in Calgary. Faith is a very strong operative force in the life of every human being now. And I dare you, try it. Acknowledge who you are in Christ and go around and acknowledge other people. Acknowledge them on a level that they are capable of hearing. Acknowledge them when they do something good. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge their kindness. Acknowledge their haircut. Acknowledge their pretty eyes. Acknowledge whatever you can that is real. Acknowledge that they do things to help other people. Acknowledge that they're encouragers. Acknowledge something good. It will change people's lives. But you see, it's only through the power of acknowledgement.
You first have to acknowledge, as you said, looking back at the cross, what has happened.
Yes.
You have to acknowledge, folks, that you are included in that, mm-hmm. which means that no matter what you do, that you too are never less in God than anybody else or any more in God. Mm-hmm. And finally, you must acknowledge, as Michael said, everybody being of equal stature to you. And then from that point, Michael, you can you're not trying to schmooze anybody. You're not trying to kiss anybody's butt. When you compliment somebody's eyes, or you compliment somebody's attitude, or you compliment anybody on anything, you acknowledge them. You are really acknowledging that which is part of the new creation.
You are, and you're operating by faith.
That's, oh my God. That you guys, that is a huge part of sharing the gospel, is that you are interrelating with other human beings based on your understanding on the faith that says all things have been made new. There is no more stilling of the storm. That was Old Testament stuff. When Jesus went to the cross, it was finished. Yeah, all that absolutely. Stuff from the scriptures, the real scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, all that incredible, wild, what do they call the movies that are science fiction that an atheist would say is science fiction. That stuff was all finished. God's at rest now. He's at peace. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with us. And he set the planet on its axis, and it's rotating just fine. Thank you very much.
And he's not only at peace with himself, he's at peace in us.
Mm.
This, you know, God was looking for a resting place. Where would God find rest? I would have to go back through the verses. I was doing a little bit of research today, and the whole thing was actually God asking the question, "Where am I going to rest?" You know, and I thought, well, that's a fair question, but I knew the answer immediately. He found his rest in me.
Yes,
God is at rest. God is at rest in me.
Is he at rest? Is he at rest in Pat Robertson?
He is at rest in Pat Robertson. He is at rest in everyone on this planet, and is there for that to be acknowledged. You don't have to activate this. All you got to do is acknowledge it, and it will. It is the power of God, because you see, the truth of the gospel is simply interfacing that which exists with that which is unknown. That's all. That which exists within that is unknown to the mind. The gospel interfaces those two and causes them to whatever they do. I don't even claim to be able to tell you what that can do. I've observed a lot of things that I'm afraid to even tell people, some things that I've observed of the power of the things that I've seen change and that we've all watched.
One thing we can say, folks, generically speaking, is that whatever it is, it's good.
Because
there's no bad news in the good news. There's no bad news. Oh, you guys, we cannot recommend the gospel enough. When we say that, we mean the meditation of it, the contemplation, the supporting of it, the talking about it, the reading about it, the listening about it. It's the power of God. The power of God is not being able to get enough people together to pray to stop a tornado.
Yeah,
the power of God is to the saving of the soul, to the renewing of the mind, to the stabilizing of the heart.
Yes.
Oh, you guys, do you realize you have a stable heart? But as Michael said so eloquently, it's the interfacing of that stable heart with the soul, with your brain, that needs the influence. Why did God do it this way? Who knows? This is the way it works.
You have a God-abiding heart. God abides in you. God chose you as his temple. This is not obscure news. Paul taught on this extensively, that we are his temple. You are where God chose to reside. And he took up that residency. He took out an old heart. I mean, God didn't want to move in an old place. So at the cross, he took out all the old hearts, put in new ones, and moved in. And this is where God resides, folks. And the God out there ain't out there. He's in here. And the power of this is, it really is the gospel. If that is true, then the residency of God has been found within man, and now that within man is the heart of man. And now there is nothing that can happen more profoundly to the human experience than for the brain to begin to connect with that knowledge. And that is the gospel.
Any good Christian worth his or her weight will tell you that at least they and their fellow Christians are the temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And that is why, Michael Williams, that you should not fornicate. That is why you should not smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. That's why you should not look at pornography. That's why you should live a pristine, what they would call, holy life.
Jesus made these temples holy outside of the law, outside of morality, outside of anything. This is not a place you have to prepare for God. Just like under the Old Testament, God wanted to be as close as he could, because God can only dwell in that which is perfect. Please hear me. God is perfect. He can only dwell in that which is perfect. And the perfection that was needed for him to even come and dwell in the air above them was the offering up of perfect praise. God doesn't dwell in your praises anymore. He dwells in you. But for him to dwell in you, that has to be a perfect place in the eyes and the opinion of God. And it was made a perfect place by the blood of Jesus, regardless of lying, cheating, stealing, fornicating, being Mother Teresa or the Pope or anybody else. This abiding place was prepared by God for God in the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man. So this is not based on this, and the whole issue of us being the temple. You see, it's just so crazy to say, well, it's we're the temple of God, so we can't do all this stuff.
But Michael,
Paul made that point. But Paul was showing us how foolish it was to base the legitimacy of this being the temple based on our performance. There's only one way that we can legitimately be the temples of God, and that is if God himself perfected his righteousness in us.
But Michael, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Yeah, be ye holy. Be ye perfect. And we be. That is the reality, is that all of that was fulfilled in Christ. We are holy. We are righteous. We are perfect. You are perfect. They are perfect. In the eyes of God. God dwells within a righteous people on the face of this earth, and a lot of them, every one of us, if we were still under the law, would be under the penalty of death. We are not under the penalty of death because the law was abolished, and God created a perfect heart in every human being that's conceived on this earth. And that's the reason that we're addressing all these things about raising children differently and all of this, because we are born holy. There are no sinners on this planet. There are no sinners on this planet. There hasn't been one here in over 2,010 years. There are no sinners on this planet. Have not been. And there will not be any sinners on this planet. This is by God's decree, not man's obedience.
You guys, the death penalty was paid for.
Yep.
We're proud and blessed to be. That's what we're blessed for, because we can say that. The death penalty was the punishment.
Yep.
But the death penalty was paid for.
Even for creating an image after oneself, which God himself did, and the penalty was paid. And the image was destroyed. And God created God created all over again. He destroyed the old heaven, the old earth, and destroyed mankind and created a new heaven, a new earth, in which dwelleth righteousness and in which dwelleth God. God is not an observer from an outside station. He is indwelling, and enjoy it.
Wow. He created a new creation, you guys, a new creature. It's a new creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
And you're part of it, and you are listening to the Gospel Revolution webcast. This is a great introduction as we continue on this here radio show. We're going to be talking about if we are perfect, even though we might have a drink once in a while or might get a little angry once in a while, maybe God was still perfect and holy when he was experiencing and manifesting what he was in the scriptures in the Old Testament. We've got Matt Perry on hold, and we want to hear from you here tonight, too. Give us a call as we go to break right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing. This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Everybody's saying that the lights don't shine, but the lights shine down on me. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Met him in the parking lot, he took me in his car. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. He rode around all afternoon, he sold me his guitar. I got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Give me sideways looks when we set up on the strand. It's hard to suck with Jesus in your band. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. You'd be so impressed with me. Give yourself right up to me.
Yeah, it. No, we got. It's more of a mellow fade, Sean. It's bring that back up. Let's practice.
Everybody's saying that it's way too warm, but me, I feel a chill. I've got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus.
Yeah, see, then you just let that play underneath. We're learning together, ladies and gentlemen, on the Gospel Revolution webcast. Glenn Klein online. If you want to hear the whole song, and you do. YouTube Craig Finn, CraigFinn, Craig Finn. And what a great song. Michael, it's hard to suck when you have Jesus in your band. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is Glenn Klein Online, as I said, 1-800-436-3260. Now that Sean is done with his board op instruction, he's ready to take your call at 1-800-436-3260, 813-425-5773. And now, without any further delay, let us go to Ackworth, Georgia. He's been waiting a little bit. I'm sure he has enjoyed the conversation, knowing him as we do. We are proud to please welcome online the Covert Streets Ops Coordinator of the Gospel Revolution. Please say hello to Mr. Matt Perry. Matt!
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Matt. What's up?
Hey, Matt.
Am I lower than Germa?
No, you are not lower than Germa. That is impossible. Michael said it's impossible to get lower than Germa.
Yeah. Save your breath, Matt. You do a lot well, but there's no need in competing with Germa. I gave up too. So.
But it's a good effort, Matt. Nonetheless,
it was good.
How are you, my brother from another mother?
Doing real good. Very well.
How much were you enjoying that conversation?
Immensely.
I know.
Not that I won't listen to it at least once or twice again, but it was a great one. It's getting really deep.
Yeah, we're just getting started, brother. We're just tipping our toes in the pool of God's grace.
Good water.
No doubt. What you got for us on this Wednesday eve?
Well, I originally called. I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but since y'all were talking about Pat Robertson, I looked up this Facebook status that somebody else copied, somebody else posted. I'm not a friend with him. His name is Mike Miller. He writes, why does God keep sending tornadoes to the Bible Belt? Why not New York, California, or other heathen, godless, liberal states?
Exactly.
I'm so confused. Help me figure this out, Pat Robertson. That's taken from Doug Meisner's status. I heard that on a couple other people repeating that. But I called... I'm talking on this message board on another website, and y'all were before we get all into the Pat Robertson and the other depths, which I'm going to have to dig back up later on. You're into the just the basics of it, and you got really, you know, it's good to once, you know, you build your foundation and then you keep building on it. And so I've been talking on this message board, and I was just going to read back what I've written in accordance to what I've learned so far, what I already know, but what makes sense according to biblical standards and, you know, what we've talked about so long on this. So here I go. Without further ado, they wanted to know how the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are different. And I wrote, and you can, I'm actually reading this, not, I think it's exactly, you know, I'm pretty accurate myself. I'm not imperfect in my mind and my body, but I wanted to see if how this coheres with what y'all believe, and I'm open to any kind of criticism or correction. And also just to share what I know with anyone else who's listening.
I will be very surprised if we have anything to correct. But go ahead, Matthew.
All right. So once again, the question is, how is the new and old covenant different? The old covenant was the law, the unattainable measure of man to live up to the Ten Commandments and the other 603 laws listed as the Old Testament, in the Old Testament. God set that up so that man would realize that he cannot attain perfection by self-righteous means. Jesus fulfilled the laws and became a sacrifice to God on man's behalf, and by doing so, ushered in a new spiritual age to all creation, as Mike was talking about just briefly, or not briefly, but previous to the break.
Right.
We, including you, I, everyone, and everything in existence, were all made one with God and each other in holy perfection. Time still needs to play out the implications of our realization of this, and that is why there is still trouble and sadness in the world. Once humanity finally decides to seek and embrace truth and love universally, we will experience heaven on earth and realize the perfection of all things. The new covenant is that God has given infinite grace that we don't deserve and could not have earned by our own merit. The new covenant is one of endless peace that God has, that God is no longer and never again will be angry with us. Don't confuse this with the twisted religious view that we need to pray or do anything to attain this.
Amen.
Amen.
That could not have been said better, I think, Michael.
Amen and A plus.
Amen and A plus. I think Matt has articulated the aforementioned extrapolation of what we think that the gospel accepted by the vast majority of the population around the planet just might do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and that's beautiful, Matt. We really do appreciate you. Goodness gracious, there's so many fronts that you really are our front man out there. You are the front man of the gospel on these message boards and stuff that that you are able to be a part of. I could never, ever do that at all. So first off, let me just say that we greatly appreciate it, and I know everyone else does too. And the people that you are sharing these things with do. I mean, when someone has an honest question like that, to have someone that can actually answer it, oh my God, that is incredible. I know that I spent the vast majority of my life where that nobody would have been able to explain to me the difference between the Old and New Covenant without mixing them completely together. And as Glenn always reminds us, the Old Covenant is the blood of a goat and the New Covenant is the blood of Jesus. And so any mixing of any of the external affairs that went along with the blood of a goat or the blood of Jesus, it literally is mixing the blood of a goat and the blood of Jesus together. And the sacrifice of a goat was there by the order of the law, by the decree of the law. But there was no law, and the priest, the priest that handled the sacrifice was there by the law. The sacrifice was there by the law. The sins that were committed were by the law, And this new covenant, of course, was based on the blood of Jesus. There was no law that made Jesus Lord. There is no law. Jesus became high priest by a promise, not by a law. And we are the creatures of a promise, not a law. And your explanation was wonderful. And, of course, as you can see, it just opens up the discussion for a lot of really marvelous things and things for us to rehearse and to be understood. And that difference between the blood of a goat and the blood of Jesus is where it all comes down to. And all of the things that came out of and the things that led to the blood of a goat and the things created around the blood of the goat are the things of the first covenant, the things that are about, around, and pertaining to the blood of Jesus. That is the new covenant. And it's all a promise that has been fulfilled.
I'm going to hold God to his promise. I think he's good for it.
I think he's good for it, too. We concur with the Covert Streets Ops coordinator. Is this what you mean by Covert Street Ops? Just like,
well, I'm a little over it right now, but I try to keep it undercover as much as possible.
I know. Well, you know, Matt,
he's our overt covert tonight.
You hear us, and you've heard Michael say on so many occasions how proud we are of the gospel, but we are so proud of you, bro.
Oh,
my God. I just cannot express to you what you mean to us in this effort.
I really appreciate it. I thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Matt. Love you.
Thanks for everything you're doing. There he goes, the Covert Street Ops coordinator of the Gospel Revolution, Matt Perry, from the great state of Georgia.
He's the man on the keyboard out there.
And Matt, of course, attended the second Gospel Revolution Summit here in beautiful Tampa, Florida. And that's where we're coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the original name of Tampa Bay. And we've got plenty of time to get you on the line now. We've got a line open at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. That's a toll-free line outside the U.S. and Canada. You guys can call us, too. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Get on the board. You can see how important your our participation is. By just seeing what Matt just added to the program. Your number to call worldwide is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Sean, ready to talk to you. And Joe Klein's in the house tonight, Michael. What do you think about that?
Yay, Joe.
Numero uno, my number one son, just happened to grace me with his presence. All right, so this email just came in from our dear brother, Victor Brennan, and beautiful Calgary, Alberta. This is a summary of Romans chapter 5 and 6 in basically two sentences.
Yes.
He says, humanity was in Adam. When Adam sinned and all men were born after that were sinners. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, up until the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, all mankind, past, present, and future, was in Christ. But now all men are righteous after the similitude of Christ's righteousness.
Man, I tell you, having the term in Christ, that preposition, properly placed as to who, where, and what, and when in means is so vitally important to the understanding of the work of the cross. You see, Christianity gives you the opportunity to become in Christ after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But the plan of God was to place you in Christ before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, thus explaining such ludicrous statements that if one be dead, we were all dead. If one is made alive, then all are alive. Paul's statements in Ephesians of how that there was Jew and Gentile in God, and how that through the cross, through the hostility of the law, that's another word we need to add to those qualities of that God was experiencing, was hostile, the hostility that was there, that all of that was dissolved, And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the moment the law went on the cross, and the law was nailed to the cross, that is the moment. You see, we know the precise moment when all of the planet went into Christ. We know the precise moment when they nailed the body of Jesus to the cross. The body of the law was nailed to the cross. When the law was destroyed, the law was nailed to the cross. That is the moment that Jesus drew into his body the entire planet, and all of the human race was in Christ. By being in Christ before his death, you are partakers of his suffering, you are partakers of his death, you are partakers of his resurrection, you are partakers of his life. Not an after the event invitation. Being in Christ is not an after the event invitation. Party's over.
And you missed it. And the party has just begun at the same time.
Absolutely.
All right, dude, but wait a second. But what about, all right, fine. This is a great work that Yeshua did at the cross. But your good evangelical would say, yes, all of what you just said is true. That's sound doctrine in every Christian Bible school across the country. But what about all the verses, both by Yeshua himself and people like James, Peter, and John, that we've got something to do with this too? At the very least, you must believe. You must repent.
Well, thread by thread, we go through that, and we understand all of the types and comparisons from the Old Covenant to help us understand all of that. And all of these requirements were fulfilled. Just because somebody else didn't understand the completed work of the cross doesn't mean we can't.
And who are you referencing when somebody else did not understand?
Peter, James, and John.
Oh, they didn't understand.
And possibly even Paul to some extent.
You're telling me, Mike Williams, that you understand better than Peter, James, and John.
I know the scriptures prove that Peter, James, and John are wrong.
So the answer to the question is yes, you know better than Peter, James, and John.
Yes, because I know the scriptures.
Mm. And we also know, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul, the apostle, who was Saul as a Pharisee, he was the only apostle that knew the scriptures. All those other, he was a scripture scholar. Yes. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets. All the other guys were tax collectors and fishermen and stuff. I mean, come on. This is the reality we're talking about here. Yes, we know better. We even know better than Paul. Here's why. Because of Paul. And because of, the last 2,000 years, we know that there was no terminal generation between the resurrection of Christ and right now. And we also know, because we know that all things were fulfilled from the scriptures at the cross, that all prophecy has already been fulfilled, including any so-called end times doctrine. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's good preaching, Roberts. We got about 18 minutes. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. If you've got any comments or questions on anything, what you've heard tonight, just a general question, you just want to say hi, 813-425-5773 is the number worldwide where you can call us. And now we will go to the aforementioned province of Alberta, but specifically to Edmonton. Please welcome online Jeannie Hope. Jeannie!
Hi there.
Hello, Jeannie Hope.
Jeannie, how are you?
Hang on a second.
Close the door, Jeannie.
Sorry, my dog's just excited.
I was going to say somebody is preaching the gospel in dog.
That's right.
Jeannie, how are you?
I am really good, and you?
Oh, wonderful.
It's good to hear your voice. It's the first time I ever listened to this. It's quite wonderful. I'm having fun.
This is your first time listening?
I know. I'm a busy girl.
You always remember your first time, Jeannie. Don't forget that.
Okie dokie, I will. There's some things I've got
to explain about Jeannie Hope then. See, you've exposed yourself, and now I've got to tell the world about you.
I have.
Yeah. Jeannie, if you listen to the tapes, and if any of you've heard they may get in trouble in Calgary in doing the meetings, and a complaint being issued that I did not sing at the end of my sessions. That was Jeannie's mom, and sweet, sweet, sweetheart. She loved the gospel, and so it used to be Jeannie and her mom that would come to the meetings many years ago, and now it's Jeannie and her son that comes. So, and what a delightful young man he is, and you'll have to get him tuned in on the webcast too, Jeannie.
Yeah,
so that's Jeannie.
So you know, Jeannie, that the show is archived, so you can go back and listen to the last almost 7 years of radio shows if you want on the website.
I was just reading on that, and I probably might.
So this is your first time listening. I've got to ask you to give us your critique of what you have heard.
Well, I just came on probably 5-10 minutes ago,
okay.
But totally enjoying the show. I thought Glenn was getting a little hard on you, saying you knew everything.
the more you listen, Jeannie, you'll get used to all that.
Yeah, no, I got a chuckle out of it, and yeah, you know, if you can't learn something in 2,000 years, Paul was just a person,
right?
And not just a person. I mean, he's a person that God gave a message to. But we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call him.
And, we all got it, don't we?
Yeah, so yeah, that's possible for us to know a little more.
Are you planning on coming to Calgary this summer?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. And does somebody not very close in your neck of the woods, Jeannie, but James Oliver from Lake Country, British Columbia, says, just a brief hello on my way home after work. The library lets me access my mail for a moment. I just finished reading The Hour We Least Expected by the Esseries, and I had to wonder, James says, if they were looking at your notes, Michael.
You know what? That's what I was going. That's the reason I called you. I've just finished reading for the second time The Hour We Least Expected. I couldn't put it down the first time or the second time, and I'm wanting to read it a third. And then on my way to work, I'm listening to the tape Attaining Perfection, the audio teaching.
Oh yeah.
Oh my! I mean, to me, those are just the two most the best teachings, I think, thorough, you know, that explain it well and really help to understand. I will definitely be listening to those and pass them on to people who are asking, because I think they're well done, very well done.
Thanks, Jeannie. James says that he's going to try to make the Calgary conference as well later this summer. He says, I'm trying very hard to be available for that. And he was also wondering, Michael, when is your book going to be done? And he goes, LOL. That's James Oliver from Lake Country, B.C.
And I answer with an LOL.
Soon and very soon, Mike's book's going to be done.
Well, I guarantee you that when it is done, I think that the one thing that will be the most common comment of those of you who have waited so patiently is you will say it was worth the wait, and that I send along, I think, is a guarantee with the book, and it is. And let me just say that the present company, Glenn and I, can let you know that it certainly is much farther than where we have ever been before, and we're close to actually coming into the next phase of getting the book edited and getting to a finished product.
And, ladies and gentlemen, as a teaser, prior to the book coming out, I can confidently say, let's say it this way. Look for a brand spanking new gospelrevolution.com coming to a computer screen near you.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's exciting. All right, Jeannie.
All right.
Anything else?
No, just send my love. Take good care of yourself. And we'll see you soon.
Hey, don't be bashful. Give us a call anytime.
I won't.
What's your son's name?
Neil.
Say hi to
Neil.
Tell the Gospel Revolution, or tell Neil that the Gospel Revolution sends their love.
I will.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Okay.
Bye, Jeannie.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Yeah, love you. Bye.
There's Jeannie Hope. That's a pretty good name for a gospel. She doesn't need a Gospel Revolution title. She's got the title in her name.
Yeah. Her mother's name is Grace.
Grace? Well, it probably wasn't Hope, but.
Yeah, so we had all the bases covered.
We've got a few minutes left if you want to hop on at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or worldwide at 813-425-5773. We'd love to hear from you in our remaining moments. All right, so homeboy, home slice, part three of A Holy Corrupt God comes out, and you really tackled how God could be both holy and corrupted at the same time.
You know, I think I actually went into greater detail about the dichotomy of his holiness and corruption that's all at once in the previous ones. I was trying to think if I had really drawn attention back to that in this one. I don't think that I did. And it deserves the time that you're bringing to it right now, Glenn. And but as you study that, always remember that regardless of what we're trying to communicate or trying to observe in this issue of the anger of God, we're wanting to understand this more than maybe any generation has ever understood it before. And if we're not willing to kind of cast ourselves out there a little bit and get away from the shore just a bit, how can we understand? You know, people that found out that the earth was not flat never knew it until they began to launch out and to experience that. It was just a theory. And I want to understand the gospel more than just in the theory. I want to understand the principles of the Old Covenant. I want to understand the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. I want to understand the anger of God. I want to understand when, where, why. Those are all questions, and I cannot apologize for having questions, because the things that I'm going into now in these articles are things that I have questions about. These are not necessarily declarative things, as if you read them, you'll see we are holding these things in question. I think that we're on pretty solid ground. Or I wouldn't even be bringing it up at all, but do remember that that God, even though he was angry, he was not unholy. There was nothing unholy about God. I think even that within itself, that if anger and if I had anger, wrath, and judgment, it would certainly be a corruption on my part. But you see, I know after the blood of Jesus, now I really am in God and I are one, because I know that God, even though that he was angry and full of wrath and judgment, certainly was not unholy, even if you call it corrupt.
Well here's the thing.
Corrupted.
Here's the thing, folks. If God was angry, and then God created himself in the form of Yeshua, and that was the perfect sacrifice, I mean, just by a logical extension, one would have to conclude that God was still holy and righteous and perfect, even if he was angry.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because he formed himself in the person of Yeshua, in the body of Yeshua, and we know that he was the perfect sacrifice, Michael. He was without sin.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was without sin, not because he didn't sin. That is so vitally important to understand. You know, there's so many times we run through these shows, and there's elements of the gospel that are just springing up everywhere. They all deserve hours and hours of attention, such as this one. It is vitally important that we understand that Jesus was the perfect sinless sacrifice, not based on whether he sinned or not.
Right, like one of the gospel revolutionaries on Facebook said, could Jesus have been both sarcastic and loving at the same time? And my response was, he was quite versatile. our Lord. You could be, folks, you can be perfect and sarcastic and even mean-spirited at the same time. He never ceased being perfect when he was violent in the temple. He never ceased being perfect when he criticized the religious leaders or when he was sarcastic to the disciples. Was he? We don't think so. We think he was perfect, not by his actions, but by who he was. He was in a state of perfection because he wasn't born through the seed of Adam. He was born through the seed of the Ruach HaKodesh. He was born by the Spirit. Oh, it's good stuff. This is Glenn Klein Online. We got a few more minutes. Let us go quickly to beautiful Frederick, Maryland. We've got Jesse and Peggy Zuniga on phone. Jesse and Peggy!
Hey, everybody doing?
Oh, my gosh, where have you been?
Oh, my gosh. I told you, I'm not great at Facebook and all that stuff. We've been in hell. I don't know where we were exactly, but you know some of those stories where Mike was talking about his beginning times of the different shock therapies and being in a fetal position in a stall and Jesus walked by and said, I could use that guy. You know, that's where I've been, kind of in a hole.
I hear you.
It was probably my darkest night was this past 2011. And,
oh, bless your heart.
It's wonderful and horrible all at the same time.
Exactly.
The biggest blessing, the biggest curse kind of thing. But, you know, we wouldn't want it any other way. And it's hard. Jesse and I have been leading worship, ironically, isn't that funny? Because we don't know how to make money any other way. And
right. We can respect that, you guys.
Go for it. We're with you.
Well, you know, we can't get worship into the church. That's our bottom line. I told a pastor Tuesday night because we do still need some worship, but it was by desperation. I sent out some letters to some large churches, and we were having a really bad time as a family, and I didn't ask for money. I just said, could we please come in and sell our CDs and come in and let the people give us some money. For our city. So, long story short, nobody answered that request. They didn't care if we were starving. I explained it nicely. We helped build a lot of those churches. It's kind of embarrassing, huh, Mike? You know?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
You
don't know how to feel about that. You know, we built a lot of, one in particular is just a multi-million-dollar church, and we're stragglers out there in the parking lot in a beat up car, and I'm thinking, this is insane. This is just insane. So it's good though, because we're at a great place in our heart. We know we're not going to stay there. We strictly are just trying to pick up a few bucks to make it to the next day. But we're okay with that. We're actually going to go down and audition for The Voice. That's crazy.
Oh no, that's good. What was that guy? Do you guys watch The Voice?
You know, I haven't had TV in 5 years, but I saw it accidentally after the football game, and it's really powerful.
Well, this pastor, God, I can't remember the pastor's name or the son's name.
Oh, Tony Evans.
Yeah, Tony Evans' son. He got eliminated Monday night, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you know, that exposure is the only thing we give a flit about at this point, because you know, here you have Christianity, the entire realm of Christianity, just as blind as ever, and I mean that with all due respect.
No, that's a pretty accurate description of the current state of Christianity.
It's so amazing, just the I don't know, we don't fit in as we never did, but it's okay. It feels good now. It didn't feel good before. I think even just a year ago, when you're being detoxified from religion and detoxified from everything you've known since you were a child, it is just this process that you don't even know. It's kind of like having a disease or a germ, and you just can't really get it out of your system until it's out of your system, which I think was what the Dark Night of the Soul was for me. Just you didn't know who you were, and it was Jesus and Jesus alone. It was Yeshua alone. That pulled us through it, and we feel good because our marriage, we felt like our marriage was over, our music had stopped. I mean, if you can't play worship in church, where are you gonna go? So
hey, Peggy, is Jesse there? Is he online?
Yes, he's me.
Oh, he's
right here chasing the babies. Hold on.
All right.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Jess, how is it going, buddy?
Hey, Jess.
I'm doing good. Hi, Mike.
It's so good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, we really miss you guys. Yeah, we are definitely going to make it to the next one. It was like way up in Canada. We're like, oh, my God, that's on the other side of the moon. But but we love that. And then it got to Tampa, and we were just so tapped. We couldn't go any further. But we really feel like, I don't know, as far as our music goes, we just really think that the Lord's going to have to use it some other way, or we're going to have to get more creative.
Are you guys on the Internet at all?
Somewhat. We're old, you know.
All right. We don't know all that tricky stuff. All right. Do me a favor. And call the office. You can call the office now, but the number's on the website. Do you guys have the number?
I have it on the website. Yeah, well, I have your site and Mike's site.
Okay.
Now.
All right. So call the office number and talk to Jeff, and Jeff will send you a copy of the Calgary conference on the Book of Proverbs. You guys will so enjoy it.
Oh, you know what? And that reminds me, because I heard you talking about raising children. Now, see, we've been listening to Mike for over 16 years. It kind of freaked us out when we thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But our kids, my daughter is 16, and so they came in under the as we were transforming, you know, from so much religion to freedom. And what a difference. Just religiosity and just the whole concept. I remember going to my son, Michael, who's now 29, saying, we were listening to Mike find about the grace of God, and then my son come running in one day, and he goes, okay, Mom, so you're talking about this grace thing, right? He was feeling me out. He was like, you're talking about this grace thing, so if I do this, I said, wait a minute, honey, you're trying to work this system. So long story short, my daughter, Angela, she is just a force to be contended with, and it has nothing to do with religion at all. It just has to do with the love of God, and it's very refreshing. Very refreshing.
Well, speaking about getting detox from religion, this series is called "What's Proverbs Got to Do with It." This one's for Laurel, and if you can download it, Jeff will give you a download address, or he'll get your address. He'll just send you, because I know the CDs are on their way from the conference. So just call. You can call the office out. Jeff probably will answer the phone now, but if not, tomorrow morning.
And also, let me suggest to you that you have Jeff send you everything we've got on Kate Benham also, and we'll just send that out to you guys free just to help you out right now. And
you guys are so wonderful. You know what we're listening to. I mean, this is terrible. We got some of your tapes, and they're just the very beginning tapes were like the worst ever, Mike. They're like squeak. But you know, we're steady listening to them, and our tapes stretch.
Well, welcome to the 21st century, you guys. You're going to get some really crisp, clean CDs.
And you may find a song on some of Kate's stuff that could really help you with your competition there at The Voice.
What we're going to do, too, is just in the past weeks, God has really started to restore to me a lot of new songs of worship and songs that we had written before that we've since then gone back and changed.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, a lot.
Well, you guys have heard the story when Pep Washburn from Central Wisconsin used to go and steal the overhead transparencies and change the words of the worship music so that they would actually reflect the grace of God. And everybody would sing, of course, the words that were being projected, and it freaked the worship leader out, and they would change it back. And speaking of covert ops, Pep Washburn was a covert ops coordinator there in Central Wisconsin for the Old Believers Church. So we know from whence you came. Hey, thanks a lot, you guys, and give
love
give Jeff a call. Okay,
we love you. We'll see you soon.
Hey, call us anytime.
We're here for
all
you.
Right, we will. Thank you.
All right, there's Jesse and Peggy Zuniga from beautiful Frederick, Maryland, near the nation's capital. Wow, we went from Georgia to Canada to Maryland to Houston and right back here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit. It's been a very full evening, Michael.
It has been a wonderful evening, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Oh,
appreciate all that you do and your heart for all the people out there. We I love you, and I know everybody in the Gospel Revolution loves you and appreciates you.
I appreciate that, and we appreciate you. And, Michael, you are the man with the extrapolated plan at this point, which we love. Want to thank everybody who called. Matt Perry from Ackworth, Georgia. Jeannie Hope from Edmonton. And the Zunigas from Frederick, Maryland. Also want to thank Jeff Robertson for, oh, my God, just can't even say everything that guy does and has done. Sean O'Halloran for being the beautiful human that he is. Let us hear from you this week at Gospel Revolution next time. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody.
Don't be a drag, just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. Your black, white, beige, chola, descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether like disabilities, if you outcast with leader trees, rejoice and love yourself today. Cause baby, you were born this way.